But don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire.
Good morning and welcome to Playing with Fire, Long Island's only food, wine, and lifestyle show. I'm your host, Tom Shortell, and I'm here with producer, dear friend, and confidant Stu Schrager. Good morning, Stu.
Good morning, Tom.
You're looking very casual today.
Yes, we have a concert over at Westbury Music Fair tonight, a country show, Lee Bryce.
Is that your country garb there?
Yes, I have to live the part.
Yeah, no, I see it. You're looking spiffy.
Thank you. Thank you. So I was thinking of you the other night. I went to a bar mitzvah, which was at Mulcahy's.
Mm-hmm.
Unusual venue.
Yeah.
One of the girls over at Westbury.
Not the holiest of
Well, the ceremony was at Chabad in Commack, but the party was at Mulcahy's. And one of the girls from Westbury, her son's a real rocker. He's really into entertainment. So her son, Lane, had his bar mitzvah there. And it was really cool because they had a couple of performances. There was a band, I wasn't familiar, Brother, Sister or something, I don't know. But Randy from Zebra was there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
What's his last name? I can't think of his last name now.
I'm going to tell you what it is once.
Randy.
But at any rate, he played a mixed Randy Jackson.
Jackson, right.
But he played a mixture of songs. He did some Led Zeppelin and stuff.
He's very good at Zeppelin.
Yeah, so it was really a cool party. Why was I thinking of you? Because Randy Jackson gets up there with I guess it was a Gibson Les Paul, mm-hmm. with a purple sunburst.
Oh, wow.
And it made me think about your band.
Uh-huh.
And you tricked your bass player or your guitarist who was blind.
Yeah, yeah.
And you let him choose what guitar he wanted to play that night. And I think it was a hot pink one.
It was, yeah. The backstory is that Brian Leclerc, who is the other guitar player in my band, Hurricane, is a phenomenal player. He's as good as anybody I've ever heard. And he's sadly lost his sight due to retinitis pigmentosa. So he's slowly been going blind over the years. And he's unsighted now. He can't see. So his guitar was in a shop, and he had a gig to play, and he said, it wasn't with me, it was with somebody else. And he said, can I borrow one of your guitars? I said, yeah, sure, come on over and check out whichever one you want. So he played a bunch of them, and he picked this kind of guitar that I bought on a lark kind of for fun. You know, I bought this Japanese Stratocaster. It was a Miami Vice hot pink. And I took all the pickups out, and I put Texas Specials in it. The thing really rocked. It was a great guitar. But it was hideous. You know, the color was hideous, right? So he goes, I think I'll take this one. I'm like, should I tell him? I mean, I don't know, you know. But the thing is, when you're as good as Brian, you can play whatever you want, you know, because he's just such a monster. So P.S., hold on. We get to 2 days later, he's playing his gig, right? So my friend Dave and I go down there, and I was telling Dave the story, borrow one of my guitars, right? And I didn't tell him anything about the color or whatever. So we walk in the venue, and Brian's up there just killing it, right? And Dave looks at me, looks at the guitar, looks at me, goes, you didn't tell him, did you? I did. He didn't care. Thank God.
So it's funny how time changes things. So you described the hot pink guitar as Miami Vice.
Yeah.
But in today's world, they'd probably say Barbie pink.
Yeah, flamingo pink or something. Yeah, it's crazy. So I'm going to a concert tonight, too, you know.
Yes, I heard.
My dear buddy Steve Vai is playing at the Beacon with Joe Satriani, who also went to my high school. You have two of the world's top guitar players coming out of less than a square mile, which is unusual. Something in the water. Apparently, I didn't get it. It was on the other side of the tracks because you got two guys that are just ridiculously talented guitar players. And so I'm going tonight, and I was teasing them last time I saw them. I said, you guys getting paid by the note? Because, you know, you play an awful lot of notes. And it's amazing, you know, I've been playing guitar since I'm 10 or 11 years old. And I never got real good at it because I never really dedicated myself like these guys did. But, you know, every time I see them play, I want to take every guitar I have and throw it in the fireplace, you know, because it's just kind of pointless, you know, seeing what they can do. It's just amazing. But if you're interested in guitar music, and you have to be, you know, there's not a lot of singing going on. To catch these guys in concert is just insane. It's it's a master class in educational guitar and seeing where it can go. So anyway, I'm excited about that tonight.
So you're going backstage?
Probably, yeah.
That's pretty cool. I always wondered what backstage looked like at the Beacon Theater.
It's not. It's a room, you know. I've been there before. And a lot of times at the Beacon, not, I don't do that. They come out, you know, have this meet and greet. They come out, you know. But it's just rooms. It's, you know, it's like a warehouse. You know, it's not a, anything. You know, they have couches there or whatever. But it's not anything that you want to, you know, model your living room after, you know. So, but it's just fun to see Steven. I haven't seen him in a while, so it'd be great to catch up with him tonight a bit, you know.
The million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Will his brother be there?
No, Roger's not going tonight, and the reason is sad. He's got this really bad knee problem, and he can't get around. You know, it's like bone on bone or whatever, and it's very painful. And he can't get the operation until they straighten his heart out a little bit. You know, he's got some issues with a pacemaker and all of that, so he's kind of in limbo at the moment. And so he's, you know, he's using a walker, you know, to try and get around.
Terrible.
Yeah, that's awful, man. It's a sad story, you know. He's my dear, dear friend forever. I mean, since we're children. And, you know, to see him suffer like this is just painful. It's painful to think about it and watch, you know.
Have you talked to Steve at all? I mean, is he in town for a little bit, seeing family or whatever?
No, they hit and run, you know.
Will his lovely wife be with him?
Pia, I don't know. I don't know if Pia's coming or not. And she shows up. Generally, when he's in New York, she comes, you know, because they do stop and, you know, if they have a night to play with Roger, they'll go out for pizza or something, whatever they do. But, yeah, hopefully she'll be there. She's great, Pia. I love Pia. She's a sweetheart of a woman. I think his both sons are working for him now. I think Julian and Fire are both, you know, on the tour with them. They do, one does merch and the other one does, takes care of tickets and, you know, gets you all the passes or whatever. So it's really become a family affair. But I think he said he was going to retire maybe next year.
Because
he's been touring a lot. He's been touring with that Beat show, BEAT. That's all the music King Crimson over the years.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he's been doing that. And, you know, he's been busy.
He's had a fabulous career. I guess he had some run with Frank Zappa.
Yeah, he played with Frank Zappa when he was 20-something years old, you know. Which was a hell of a musical education because Zappa was a tough taskmaster, you know. Zappa played very hard music to the letter every night, you know. And it was good for Steven because, you know, there's no drugs allowed, no drinking allowed. I mean, you can't play that kind of music. You can't do what Steven does and be drunk, you know. It's just, it's all too complicated. But anyway, and Zappa made sure he never sold his, Steven told me the most important thing Zappa ever told him was to never sell your music publishing, never sell your publishing to anybody. Just keep it for yourself, you know, and you'll always have something. And so he did. He was it was a good education for him. And he played with Whitesnake.
I was just going to say, that must have been interesting.
Yeah, he's toured with, you know, David Lee Roth. He's played with him for a while. You know, he's been a hired gun out there in L.A. for a long time.
Right, and you said, boy, you really have it all down pat. You said Beat, which, as you said, was the music of King Crimson.
Yeah, yeah.
You told me in the hallway that they tour that they're doing now is a Satch Vi band.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. So, and he's done things like Generation X.
Yeah.
Something with Spinal Tap.
Yeah, he's really, he's written some music too for, I think it was, what's that, Weekend at Bernie's, you know, he was,
really?
Did some playing on that. Yeah, he's been, what do they call that, when you're...
Eclectic.
No, I'm telling you, when you're constantly doing something, prolific. He's been prolific in his career. And you know, I mean, there's you know, look, it's, you know, best guitar player in the world. Who knows, you know? I mean, who knows what Jimi Hendrix would be doing now if he was alive, you know? The thing about that is, though, that was older blues-style guitar, you know? And he did it very well. But there's players out there now that are just so ridiculously talented.
If I'm not mistaken, he's got some cool guitars. One lights up or something.
Yes, he's got the hundreds.
And then he's got... like a handle built into the to one of them that he can twirl
grip.
Around and whatever. And
yeah, those become iconic things for Ibanez. The thing he's doing now is he's got this three-headed, three-neck Hydra, he calls it. And it's like a steampunk-looking thing, you know. And I think one has One neck is regular, one neck is a bass thing, and one neck has harp strings or something. I don't know. It's all too. I'm trying to get Hang On Sloopy down, right? I mean, we're talking about, you know, what do they call that subject? Calculus here, you know, guitar calculus. It's too much for me. You know?
Gotcha. So we came off a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
A little interesting this year. Not the best weather. I guess Memorial Day weekend was like a week earlier than usual because I think the last Monday in May is Memorial Day. So being that this come today
is
the 31st.
Yeah.
Last Monday was the last Monday in the month.
Yeah.
The 1 week difference shouldn't have mattered about weather, but probably in 25 years, this was one of the worst weekends we had for Memorial Day.
It was a complete washout, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I believe the air show has been around for 25 years. This was the first year that it wasn't. The federal government decided they wanted the air show to be centered around July 4th, the 250th anniversary.
That kind of makes sense, you know?
Yeah, so this was the first year in 25 years that I wasn't on the beach at 6 a.m., doing our various projects.
I remember, you know, I joined you last year to sell books.
Yes, we had
I sold two.
a book signing.
Yeah, it was quite the book signing.
It was the Japanese culture is very much interested in you.
They are. For some, both women. Both. I think I made $20 that day.
But it was, you know, usually the radio station is on site on the boardwalk. It's a 3-day weekend. For sure, because Friday usually is the practice run, and then Saturday and Sunday. So the radio station is on site, and it's just a lot involved. We've also done some hospitality events with Rally Motors, where they entertained 500 guests each day in a South Beach motif under a tent and on the sand with lounge furniture.
Cool.
And we did that for a couple of years. So I guess I was almost bored this weekend.
Yeah, nothing to do, right? Well, I guess you'd be down there July 4th, right?
Yes, yes.
But this weekend was nuts. It was, you know, like Friday night I did this lobster thing, you know, lobster bake or whatever. It was kind of busy. Saturday, nothing going on. But by Sunday, you know, I had like 110 reservations, 120 reservations in the morning. By Sunday evening, I had 310. And I think what happened was people were just, they either had to get out of the house because they were cooped up, or they were worried about a spike in domestic abuse. You know, if you're stuck in there with your wife or girlfriend for a couple of days, you're ready to kill each other, right? And then Monday was kind of, they finally got out a little bit. You know, we had some golfers at the club and some people out east, but we, you know, we took a pounding out east because there was nobody coming out.
Yeah, it was funny because I guess Friday night I went out to dinner with a group of friends. Wanted to throw your name around, but I behaved.
Where'd you go?
Testarossa.
Oh,
over
Billy.
in Syosset. Right. So I call up, I'm talking to my friends, the three couples that are going, and I said, can you get us a reservation? Johnny's always talking about how he's really tight with Billy and everything. So he goes,
Sansone, right?
He goes, Sansone. Something like that. Yeah. So he says, they're not opening till 4 o'clock. You know, I said, can you give him a call on his cell? He goes, no, he won't have the book there or whatever. I get very anxious. So I called the restaurant around noon. It turned out it was Billy that answered.
Oh, yeah, really?
And he goes, we just had a cancellation, so you're in, all good. And I said, well, I didn't want to start throwing around names, but I'm friendly with Tom Shardell and Johnny, my friend Johnny. And then when we were there, he also knows my buddy Ricky Frassetti.
Uh-huh.
So he goes, oh, Ricky's coming in tomorrow. And then I'm talking to Ricky over the weekend. He goes, I was across the street at Chris and Tony's
when
you were there Friday. I would have come over. But what an incredible restaurant.
Yeah,
I mean, you just
a great job, Billy.
You can't go bad.
No.
And it was funny. The I let the girls, the women, order. Again, I like other people taking control of menu decisions. But my buddy Greg got some halibut. He was very happy. My friend Johnny got a pork chop, but but Johnny Shares, thank God.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
But we started with some octopus, and we had some meatballs. Then we had two different pastas. We had, what's the flat pasta? Not linguine, but...
Tagliatelle?
Yeah. So we had a seafood version and a bolognese version. Just incredible. I was a little concerned because I put both on the same plate, and they asked me if I wanted cheese.
Uh-oh.
And I know you're not supposed to put grated cheese on seafood.
Yeah.
So I, you know, was very, very careful. But and then the girls decided to order three different salads.
Really?
We had Caesar salad, which was delightful. We had a fig salad, unbelievable, and Finocchio.
Finocchio? A little fennel salad?
Yeah.
Nice.
Incredible. And then they got some sort of it's not flatbread, a pie. So it was, again, you know, wasn't exactly a showcase of what they do. However, the pork chop was incredible. I was afraid to go near Greg because Greg's a little bit of a germaphobe. So,
yeah,
like,
oh no.
You know, I touched the bread basket and he was sending it away.
It's crazy. You know, Billy's got to be there 40 years.
I'm
trying to think of when he opened, but it's
a long time.
Oh, totally a long
because
time.
Because a long time. But he really does concentrate in the kitchen. You know, it was like real special that he came into the doorway and I harassed him. But Johnny kept going back into the kitchen to talk to him.
Yeah, you know, people don't realize, yes, it's flattering. Yes, it's a pain in the ass, you know what I mean? Because you're usually in the middle of something, and then people start asking you, hey, how's it going? Hey, wait, remember the time? Yeah, I'm trying to get this dinner out, you know? It's funny how that's the only business in the world where, you know, people feel free to come down. Even like your spouse or girlfriend, you know, I've had girlfriends come in, you know, like, you know, walk in, and one of them was a lawyer, right? And she come in, you know, I you're not talking to me. I'm working here. Next time you're in court, call me. I want to go in and talk to you while, you know. Excuse me, Your Honor. You know, I have a couple of things I got to discuss with her.
Yeah, so we got done with Friday. Saturday, I had the religious part of the bar mitzvah up in Comac.
Mm-hmm.
Ran to friends' house that live on the water in Merrick, and we usually have like a lunch, and it's been tradition. Usually I'm like laying out flat on the couch because I've been up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And these people are real health aficionados, so it's always very interesting what they serve. This year they served some orzo with like a almost like a chicken stew. Not almost, I guess it was a chicken stew. and then there was some sort of salad and something else. But it was nice hanging out, whatever. But it wasn't, you know, I'm saying this as a joke because down in Florida, when you have like a little screened-in room, for whatever reason, they call it a lanai.
Lanai, yeah.
So we were hanging on the lanai over in Merrick, and we all had blankets over us.
Yeah, well, it wasn't lanai weather.
No, it was no, not at all.
Après-ski weather. You
not
know?
At all. And then continuing on, I had a meet up at like 10 o'clock at night over in Bethpage. For the bar mitzvah, they did picture donuts, photo donuts. So now apparently in the world, and maybe you're familiar with this, they paint on like a cornstarch paper or something, and they use edible ink, and it's like printing anything. So they print them on medallions, so a round donut gets, they put icing on top as glue, put the label on it, and then they sort of edge it either with like sprinkles or frosting. And I didn't realize how tedious frosting can be because you can just do a circle.
Yeah.
Or you can do like little flowers. And little flowers means you just, it's like dotting.
Oh, yeah.
So that was tedious. They had to do like 12 dozen donuts. So I went over there to pick it up because it needed to be ready for the next day.
Yeah.
And then, what do you call it? I guess the next day was Sunday. Was busy having brunch with Mom.
Nice.
The actual bar mitzvah was Sunday night over at Mulcahy's. Again, a delightful night.
Who catered at Mulcahy's?
I guess they cater now, yeah.
Yeah,
they had anything from pasta to, you know, Sliders and Frank's.
I know John, the owner, you know, pretty well. And I haven't seen him in a long time. But he's a pretty committed guy. He was looking at a restaurant one time.
I forget the last name also.
Murphy.
Murphy, yeah.
He asked me to go take a look at a restaurant he was looking at in Merrick at one time, you know. But yeah, good guy. And he's been incredibly successful there, you know. It's hard to, you know, to do the nightclub thing anymore because, you know, the DWI laws and everything else has just kind of put a damper on late night stuff. But he's managed to pull it off there and pull it off without a lot of parking, too, you know.
Well, there's two ways of looking at that. There's no parking or there's the whole Long Island Railroad.
I know, but there's a lot of places there. You got, you know, you got that little tavern there, then you got Uncle Frank's, you know, you got a bunch of
and it's
things
actually
around.
Murray, not Murphy.
Oh, Murray, right, you're right.
But yeah, so that, you know, but yes, you're absolutely right. Carrie and I were coming off of Sunrise Highway, turning onto Wantagh Avenue, and it was like a dream come true. There was a parking spot. Got to show off my parallel parking skills to Carrie, the queen of backseat drivers, telling me how I was inefficiently getting into the spot, but she got me there.
That's good. What would you do without help, you know?
Yeah.
So, and, you know, speaking of that, oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
Speaking of that area, you know, I've been down there a bunch lately. I went to Blackbird last week. Down, which is on
I love that place.
Merrick Road, yeah. And Chris Parada is the chef owner. He's a very talented kid, man. He's probably 35. You know, everybody's a kid now for me. I'm too old, but you know, he really is. He's one of the.
And it's
brother-in-law
Frank or something.
I believe so. Yeah, but he's he's one of his up-and-coming young Turk chefs that I have a lot of respect for. I think the kid's great, and. So we had a really good meal at Blackbird. He's got some interesting wines.
Share
by the glass.
Some of the choices.
We had
small plates, right?
It's yeah, pretty much. We basically went for pastas. You know, he does a really textbook version of cacio pepe, and we had that. And I think it's a couple weeks now. 2 weeks ago, I guess it was. We had a pesto thing that was textbook great, and then one other pasta we split. It was probably a ravioli or something. I don't remember now. But he was out, you know, he came out and he was talking to me for a while. And I said, you know, your pastas are better than 90% of the Italian restaurants I go to, you know. I mean, hats off to you. Good for you.
Sort of have an open kitchen. I mean, it's
yeah, there's a little
big,
window there you can see them.
Yeah, open.
Yeah. And then I went, a week later, I wound up at Uncle Frank's, which is one of his other places. He's got three now. And I think he's opening in Comac, he told me. So he's on a roll. Anyway, Uncle Frank's is basically pasta and pizza. You know, he had a couple of salads and apps, whatever. But everything's great there,
they
too.
They still have rustic root, or?
Yeah, yeah.
And then what type of format are they opening up in Comac?
I don't know. I didn't ask him. I told him, I said, if you want to come on the radio show and talk about it, you know, be happy to have you here. He's just a sweetheart of a guy. He's just a great, humble kid. He cooks his rear end off. He's just a very talented guy. I mean, all his sauces are great. His textures are good. His thought process, I think, is fabulous. So I'm a big fan. I think he's doing a great job. But so we went to Uncle Frank's. And then, here we go, Stu. You ready?
I'm ready.
Your seatbelt on? You know where I went the other night? Blue Water Grill.
Wow.
See, I knew you were going to be impressed, right? Because, you know,
Bill O'Leary
was kind enough to give me a $25 gift certificate for my birthday. So I said, we were talking about, you know, it's always a where do we go? You want to go here? I don't know. What are you in the mood for? Yeah, back and forth with Valerie, right? Couldn't figure it out. So finally she goes, well, you got that $25 gift certificate. Why don't we go down there and burn that up? Okay, cool. So we go down there and we sat in a bar area, a little table in the bar area. We had a very nice bottle of Assyrtiko. I had a waitress that was maybe 13 years old, you know, come over to the table. And that was an adventure, you know, trying to get that out. But she eventually got it. You know, we were laughing. We were kind, you know, whatever. And so we had the meal, and the meal was good, you know. But about three quarters of the way through the meal, there was a flood in the bathroom on the other side of the wall, right? And so now I got, you know, Lake whatever, Lake Belmore, you know, coming by. And they keep coming by. And, oh, my God, there's water all over. At first we thought it was coming from the thing that chills the wine, you know, the bucket. Apparently that wasn't it. So it was bathroom stuff coming by. And I'm like, you know, I don't care. I'm better it happens to me because I'm not one of those complainers. I mean, I know stuff happens, right? So it's getting deeper and deeper. And they're mopping it up, and the guy comes up, he's mopping the whole thing. We're trying to eat whatever, he's going to mop around. And we're starting to laugh, right? So at the end of the meal, the guy comes by with a free piece of cheesecake for our trouble, right? Which I didn't ask, I didn't say anything, you know, I care less, right? He says, oh, have a piece of cheesecake. I need cheesecake like I need an enema. I mean, really, I'm, you know, I'm trying to lose weight, get back in my jeans, whatever. So, you know, now the stuff is still coming out, right? So Valerie goes, is it still coming? I'm like, yeah. I'm kind of hoping for a turd because if I see one go sailing through, we might get a free meal, right? So anyway, yeah, that being said, the guy comes over, hands me the check, we pay the check and leave. About halfway home, she goes, you know, we never gave him the gift certificate. Like, I know. I guess we'll have to go back.
So, you know, wearing your Crocs was a real advantage that night.
You know, Crocs are a dicey problem. You know, they can get you thrown out. They can get your feet wet, you know.
So, but let's revisit Blue Water Grill. What did you dine on?
What did we have? We had, we ordered the tomato salad, you know, the Greek salad.
Yeah, very nice there.
Without the onions, it was very good.
Without the onions.
Yeah, I'm not an onion guy. And a raw onion, I think, is, I don't know why people eat that, but they do. Anyway, so we have that without the onions? Yes, you can. Okay, thank you. And we ordered the Blue Water chips, the zucchini chips, but they're not chips. They're like French fries. You know, they cut them like, you know, that.
Very thin and just fried crisp.
And the problem with that is when you have a lot of water in zucchini, right? If it's not real thin, you know, that water evaporates when you fry it. It's, and then you pile it on. So the ones on the bottom are getting steamed from the heat, you know. And, they, you know, they're limp and soggy. And they weren't very good. I mean, I would not order that again. I mean, the tomato salad was fine.
And it's usually with a tzatziki sauce for dipping, right?
Yeah, the tzatziki, I think, could have used a little more garlic, some dill and whatever. But yeah, it was fine. And then we had the octopus, which was great. You know, we had octopus. I don't remember. We had some kind of vinaigrette on it or whatever. And that was it. And then cheesecake, the free cheesecake, I should say, you know, by the way, with a little sour cherry. That was good, you know. So all in all, the meal was fine. It was you know, had a good time.
Again, I had a
and the
dish.
Wine was great. The Acertico was great.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So they have an interesting cocktail menu. So they have some infused, fruit-infused libations. So I usually enjoy that there. But the dish that I went to, and it wasn't something that I would typically think about, was a shrimp that was with feta and tomato sauce, I believe.
Yeah, well, they put feta in everything.
And it was delicious. Much. Really, really, really delicious.
Yeah.
But when I say about dipping sauce before, I also had the opportunity of dining in Insignia about a week ago. It was my buddy's birthday. We had about 15 people, big table. And they bring out the bread, and they brought out butter and now a dipping sauce, which was like I don't know if it was really tomato sauce or a tomato puree or something, but I had never seen that before at Blackstone or any of the other Scotto restaurants. But it was interesting. It took a while for my group to, my band of undistinguished gentlemen to get themselves together, so I was wasting my efforts of food on bread,
Yeah.
But it was delicious.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, Tony does a great job. His restaurants are always first class. You know, I mean, you may get a dish you love, you hate. You may get a steak overcooked. I mean, all that stuff happens. But the bottom line is he puts a lot of time, effort, and energy into his places. And I think it shows, you know. He's got, three major steakhouses now, four. And
yeah, the general manager over in Insignia, I believe his name is Amir.
Yeah, I know Amir.
He's got a great crew. Yeah. I mean, it was just fabulous. I mean, we had a couple of different meats, and as we discussed, you know, they come out dressed as a samurai. They come out with a torch and grill the
Pedro the ninja, yeah,
the bacon. And it was funny because it was like sort of a cigar night for my buddies, and one of them brought us a flamethrower, which could have cooked the bacon.
Yeah,
but
actually just.
But it was just incredible. And then I saw something just coincidentally. There was somebody doing a review of Peter Luger. Apparently, Peter Luger's in maybe Caesars in their dining
in Vegas, you mean?
Yeah. And they were saying the best way to enjoy some of the favorites there. And they said, you know, steakhouse bacon, it's really nice to drizzle some honey on it, I believe.
Yeah, maple syrup. Honey,
maple
yeah.
syrup.
Yeah.
I don't think you can really go wrong in Insignia. And they have great sushi. And
You know, it's funny. Amir is a very nice guy. I know him a long time. And I went out there some years back, again, with a gift certificate, you know. And so I got to burn this thing up. I got a gift certificate for, I don't know, $200 or whatever it is. And I go there, sitting at the bar. Amir comes over. How's it going? Good. You know, try this, try that. Okay, yeah. We have, you know, wine and whatever. And at the end, you know, I go to pay the bill. He says, no, the bill's on Amir. Amir picked up the check. I'm like, geez, now I got to go back, you know. I'm not a steakhouse guy. It's not my
You know, it's funny you say that because I believe the general manager over at Blackstone is Dodo.
Yeah,
and we did something with them years ago. They were doing something, and they had their pastry chef come in or whatever. And then I went there to dine with a guest one, you know, for a lunch or whatever. And and I go to pay, and Dodo goes, "No way!"
Oh wow! You know, not to insult anybody, but if my name was Dodo, I would change it. I would go Skippy. Or Biff or something. I would get a nickname, you know, because it just conjures up a bird to me. You know what I mean? It's just not the anyway. I think he's from the Ukraine.
For whatever it's worth, you know, spell check. When I put stew into a paragraph, it usually comes back as stud.
Oh yeah. Well, there you go. And you're looking quite studly right now. You know, your cowboy
Tom.
Outfit.
Oh Tom, thank you so much.
I mean, a 10-gallon hat, you'd be Horse Cartwright right now.
So, again, when you have a holiday weekend that turns out to be a rain bath.
A fiasco.
I was in Uncle Giuseppe's to pick up some stuff to bring to one of the gatherings that I was going to. They were doing quite the job.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, I mean, you know, if you're stuck in a house, you know, you don't want to cook, you know, where are you going to go? Uncle Giuseppe's is great. I mean, you know, they have fabulous stuff there.
Well,
know?
They have some really great prepared foods as well as just, I mean, they're a butcher shop and incredible bakery. You know, some of the selection of breads is great. It's funny, where you were over by Blue Water Grill, just a little bit east of there is North Shore Farms, and they have an incredible bakery for bread. It's like unbelievable.
Hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, Uncle Giuseppe's, I did a couple of demos there that were filmed on Channel 12, that Lily Stolzberg, or whatever her name is, she goes in there all the time. Now they just do Chef Vinny, and they have another guy, his sous chef, I don't know his name.
Yeah, Chef Vinny's the guy with the mustache.
Yeah, the mustache, yeah. And they do a fun thing every, I think, you know, once a week or whatever, they're doing something on Channel 12. And it's fun to watch. I mean, I get a kick out of it. He's very good, and the other guy does some interesting things, you know. So it's fun to watch. And she's a hoot, you know. She's a very nice lady. I remember doing. I think I did two with her over there. A lot of fun.
It's also, what else did I do? The weekend sort of started. This is a funny one. I'm leaving the office. My grandson plays basketball up in Huntington. He has practice or whatever. So I'm leaving the office. I had to get to my daughter's house like by 6:30. And I'm walking in the parking lot. And I'm getting a call from her. I'm getting a call from Sean, who's one of the managers downstairs at Stu Leonard's Wine Shop. And so I take the call from my daughter. Oh, the practice has been canceled. So then I quickly call Sean it was unusual that he was calling me. And he goes, we're doing a wine tasting. You got to come in.
Oh, wow.
And they had some, I guess, vineyard owner there and the distributor doing a Q&A. And they were serving some nice crudité. There was some nice prosciutto and cheeses and whatever.
Lovely.
And Blake Leonard was there.
Oh yeah.
Who we've had on the show.
Yeah,
she's the family
steward, right?
Sommelier.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was great to see her. And so that was a nice prelude to the weekend. And some people are just really, really knowledgeable about wines, and they're talking about, you know, the acidity of the soil And in Italy, some of the soil is just very like rock hard or whatever.
Calcare.
But for a mature plant, it doesn't matter because it's already rooted or whatever. But I guess the younger plants are more delicate or something.
You know, it's the geeky end of wine, you know. I mean, some people are into that, and that's fine. You know, so I had a discussion with Kareem Massoud, who's the owner and winemaker of Pominac, right? And he's very, very, very structured and strict in his winemaking and his thoughts on wine. And it should be educational. And you get to the vineyard, and you know, all these people are coming and they're partying in the buses. And they don't allow, a lot of places won't allow limos anymore because people just come and get drunk and stupid, you know. But I was saying to him, I said, you got to strike a balance though, because not everybody cares what the Brix level was at the time of harvest, and not everybody cares what your soil content is. Some people just want to drink wine and have a nice day, you know what I mean? And what's wrong with that, you know? So anyway, he's kind of loosening it up a little bit, you know, because, you know, you got places out there that are really busy, you know, and because it's entertainment. And I think that, you know, you can get lost in all of that stuff, you know, with food, and you know, sometimes it's just eat it, you know, like in wine, just drink it. If you like it, drink it. Who cares what the label says? Who cares where it came from? You know, I think that people get there's a guy I know, I won't tell you where he's from or what his name is, but he, you know, he's a guy with a lot of money who thinks he knows a lot about wine, and he doesn't, you know. And the problem is, you know, when you come up against somebody who does, you know, your pontificating kind of sounds kindergartenish, you know?
Well, I think we were sampling some Brunellos and Montepulciellos or something.
Yeah, Brunello. Yeah.
I got to admit, one wine was like $1.35 a bottle, mm-hmm. down to like $30. I didn't care for them. That was just me.
No.
I was glad that I partook
in
it.
Price has very little to do with whether you like the wine or not. It sometimes has to do with quality, that's for sure, because higher quality wines generally take more time to make and is more involved, and as a result, it's more expensive. But it doesn't mean you're going to like it. You know, that's the thing. I think the great part about tasting wines blind is that you find out which ones you really like and which ones you don't. And then when they show you the label, it's, oh, I didn't realize that was only $8 a bottle. Hooray, you know? Or, oh, geez, I didn't realize it was $150 a bottle. Boy, do I have good taste, you know? I mean, it can go either way. But at least you know. I mean, there's so many people that are poisoned by labels. Like I said, this fellow that I was talking about, I was talking to him one day, and he's giving me this whole routine about, there's a story about Diamond Creek Wines out in California, how the guy smuggled some vine clippings in from Obreon years ago, and so that's why his wine tastes like Obreon, which is ridiculous. It's like having twin boys. One's raised in Paris and one's raised in California. You think they're going to be the same? They're not, you know? It's a completely different atmosphere, temperature, you know, whatever. And I said, you know, every first grade student of wine knows that story. You're not impressing anybody with that, you know? And I finally told him, I said, you know, I started giving him a little pop quiz. I said, you ever drink Chasselas? No. How about Mueller Turgau? You ever have Mueller Turgau? No. You ever have any High Mountain Grenache from Sardinia? No. How about that red Pinot Noir? You know anything about that? You know, kind of thing. And I said, you know, the funny part is I could teach you a lot about wine if you just shut up for a couple of minutes and stop telling me how much you know, because you don't. You know what I mean? But he just likes to tell everybody, I drank this at this vineyard when I was over there and with this guy. And, you know, who cares, you know? Nobody cares about that. You know, you're telling me you got a lot of money and you can afford to have expensive wines. So what? You know, we've all drunk expensive wines. Who cares, you know? Anyway.
So it's funny. You know, we had Ronnie in from Ben's last week with his daughter, Jamie.
Great guy, by the way.
And again, I had to be a smart aleck and ask about the price point and the size of a sandwich or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you really do have to wonder if, you know, the size of the sandwich is so that it's not an $8 sandwich, it's a $15 sandwich, but it still tastes delicious and it's well worth the money. But I had an interesting bakery scenario. I picked up some rainbow cookies, and they, you know, sometimes you get a rainbow cookie that's like a quarter of an inch by like an inch or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. it's like a thin, sometimes you get it a little more square.
Yeah.
This was huge. It was probably 2 inches by 2 inches.
Like a Milky Way?
So I I wanted to get a small box to bring with me to the gathering.
Right.
But I didn't want a pound, so I ordered a half a pound. But then I got scared. I figured there'd be one cookie in there. And that, it bothered me in the sense that, first of all, as it turned out, I didn't like the cookie. It was very dry as compared to Alpine Pastry Shop.
That's great
that was
shop.
Which was just incredible. Yeah, it was just so juicy and, you know, sweet and
stupid good.
Yeah. But this was like dry and too big. And what annoyed me was that if I have to start cutting a cookie, it crushes and whatever.
Yeah.
It just rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, I don't know why people who do things bad want to make them bigger. You know, it's like, it reminds me of Bruce Springsteen to me. It comes to mind. I'm not a Bruce fan. You know, talented guy, successful, whatever. I don't like his music. You know, I'm saying, yeah, but he plays for 3 hours. That's 3.5 hours more than I want to listen to, you know. But it's part of the shtick, I
and,
think.
And then sometimes with these rainbow cookies, some people dip them so it's all it's covered in chocolate.
Yeah.
So I don't care for it.
I the dip.
I guess the most perfect I at the moment Alpine just.
Yeah. Well, once you get spoiled, I mean, you know. Well, that's why you go back to places that you love. I mean, people that do. I remember, you know, years ago there was an Italian restaurant on Old Country Road across from Fortunoff's there in Westbury, and I can't remember the name of it for the life of me. But I used to go there for one thing. He made a matriciana sauce that was knee melting good, right? And I used to take my daughter there. She was like 6, 7 years old or whatever. So I'm going back home a bunch of years. And we go and we split this matriciana. First of all, it was the size of a small Balkan country. I mean, this thing was huge, right? But it was so good. And I ran into him. I ran into the chef years later. And I said, geez, I miss you guys over there, man. I love that matriciana. You made the best I've ever had in my life. He goes, you know, I'll tell you the recipe. I said, you know what? No. No, that's yours, man. I just, you know, next time you get a job or whatever, you let me know where you are. It's so good, you should keep it for
yourself. It's so funny you say that, because I told Carrie that we had interviewed Ronnie from Ben's, and she goes, did you get me the recipe for this stuffed cabbage?
Yeah, forget that, you know.
But when we're talking about bakeries, you know, on the South Shore, Capri in Seaford is a really nice bakery. It's Italian bakery. Great rainbow cookies also. You go in there, and they have baskets of the different cannoli shells. You know, all chocolate, chocolate cookie, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they stuff them for you while you're there, and then you have to decide if you want powder on it, I guess.
It's a lot of decisions.
The chocolate on the ends or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's a Spiga. I don't know if you ever heard of Spiga.
Mm-hmm.
They have two locations, one in Massapequa, one in America. And again, incredible. They've been written up about their meat breads and stuff, and incredible selection of donuts. And they also have like individual pizzas that they sell. Just again, I guess on the South Shore, we have a lot of really nice bakeries.
I don't go into them. I can't tell you last time I was in a bakery because I don't call on people generally with a here, I got a cake, you know, kind of thing. But there was one bakery in Copeg in a shopping center where Mama's is. And it was on, if you look at a Mama's on the left end, German bakery. And they had this thing they called a German pizza. And it was, they had two flavors. They had blueberry and they had cherry. And it was like a flat crumb cake, but it was round.
Oh, wow.
And it had one had a cherry fill. It was, I'm telling you, I don't eat that stuff generally. I ate a half a pie. It was like nuts, you know. I couldn't stop. I was like crack, you know. I'm like doing this thing. I said, oh, my God, this is good. And then they left. And I'm like, I went there one time. They changed owners or whatever, and it's fine. You know, this stuff is good. But they didn't have that, you know. I was so disappointed. I mean, I would have had one of those a week for the rest of my life. And just discovered it on a lark. You know, it was one of those things. I saw it in a thing and, you know, whatever. But, yeah, German pizza, they called it. It was fabulous. But I don't, you know, again, I don't get to bakeries. I mean, I remember Flakowitz, you know, over in Jericho. That was the big thing
right.
in the 70s.
That's so funny.
Now they're down in Florida.
Florida, yeah. It's so funny you were mentioning all these different things. North Shore, remember Viennese Coach or something?
Sure.
Was that a restaurant or that was a bakery?
No, that was a restaurant catering place. Oh. Yeah, they're both, you know. Yeah, that was a guy, Lenny. Can't think of his last name.
That was
name.
Like on the north side of Jericho Turnpike.
No, south side. South side of Jericho Turnpike.
Oh, south side?
Yeah, across the street from the hospital. Where the hospital, Syosset Hospital is now. Now I think it's called North 240. It's a catering place now, if it's still there. It's just west of the diner.
And there was a movie theater around there?
There was, the Cinema 150 was called. That was on the corner. That was on the eastern, southeast corner of, southeast corner of 135 and Jericho.
Oh, you're right. Where Viennese, so there was some sort of small catering hall on the south side.
Yeah, that was it. That was back the other way.
And then, and now there's a nice restaurant in that area, Hilltop.
Yeah, Hilltop is, that's west of where.
And then there was this well-known restaurant in a basement of an office building. What was it called? Cool Fish.
Oh, yeah. Not a basement. We were on the first floor. It just looked like a basement. Yeah, Cool Fish. You know, somebody asked me to go back in there again.
Really?
Yeah. He was, I guess he's the broker or whatever. He called me up. He says, hey, you interested in going back? I said, you know, it's like walking backwards, man. I don't know. You just bump into things, you know? No thanks. So anyway.
Let me ask you this. You know, when we randomly talk, you're probably the first to admit that you're not a big steak guy.
No.
But
it's boring to me.
You know? Gotcha.
Yeah.
So if you go to a barbecue or whatever, right. Would you rather have fish or seafood or... chicken? Well, I mean, what would you...
I always prefer that. I mean, I always prefer fish to meat. But bottom line is, I mean, I'll eat it, you know? I mean, once in a while, I get in the mood. It's like, you know, we'll go to a steakhouse or something, and, you know, we'll split a sirloin and, you know, a potato, whatever. But for the most part, I don't just find it boring, and, you know, and unless I go to a really higher-end restaurant where they're treating it differently, not like steak on a grill, you know, with a piece of parsley.
And taking it a few steps further... I was ridiculed recently. We were up at the Capitol Grill, and they put some steak sauce on the table, and they also put like a béarnaise, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the guests were using the sauces.
Yeah.
And I mean, you go to Rotman's.
Rotman's.
And they'll have au poivre.
Au poivre, yeah.
Which I guess is like a peppercorn
sauce.
Are you a naked guy, or are you...
No. I think it needs help. I mean, you know, I get bored with the flavor, right? So I like béarnaise. I like, you know... It's funny. I make my own steak sauce, and people will come up, you know, when I do steak at a buffet in a club. You have steak sauce? Yeah. You have Peter Luger sauce? I said, no, I got Tommy Chaudel sauce, you know, and they look at me like I'm nuts. You got A1? No, it's A2. You know, it's my way of entertaining myself.
So, like, when you do a burger, what do you put on your burger?
Ketchup and mustard.
I like a combo of ketchup and mustard.
Yeah, and I like Swiss cheese. But that's about it. And, I eat three burgers a year, four
maybe.
That's
so funny. I recently went somewhere, and they asked me if I wanted cheese on my burger. I'm usually not a cheeseburger guy, and I asked for Swiss cheese.
Yeah, I like the flavor better. But I maybe four burgers a year, maybe. Probably more like three, not that it matters. It's right there. But and steak the same way. If I eat, you know, three steaks a year, it's probably a lot.
But explain to me the so-called Peter Luger sauce. Like, what chef decided, like, oh, damn, we're out of salad dressing, so let's use the steak sauce? Or was it vice versa? We're out of steak sauce, let's use the salad dressing.
I think somebody said, this steak needs help. You know, let's kind of come up with something. And, you know, the steak sauces, they're tasty, man. You know, I mean, I like mine better than I like A1. I mean, I taste tested mine against Peter Luger and the Paul brothers have. I can't
like Peter Luger's is like a sweet and sour almost with horseradish.
Yeah, they all are. And, you know, A1. And mine came out in blind. Mine came out better than the others.
Do you ever hear of Heinz 57 sauce?
Yeah.
I like that better than A1. A1's a little too tangy.
Yeah, 57, I don't know, is that 57 ingredients, 57 maybe. Varieties?
But A1, what is that has that, it's a deep brown, it's got a tang, what?
Well, it's probably vinegar, I would think.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, there's vinegar in there, you know. That's what makes it, you know, the tart part of it. And then the sweet part, obviously, is brown sugar, you know. And then you got a bunch of other things in there, horseradish and soy sauce. And, you know, I mean, at least in mine, you know, tomato product or whatever. But you know, I think it's fine. I mean, again, you know, people get all mad about that stupid. I get so frustrated when I hear people talk about things like that. When they said, you know, oh, the chef was so mad that I was going to put ketchup on my steak. What do you care? What do you care what I put on my food? And once you order it, it's yours. I don't care. Do whatever you want. Put it in your pocket, take it home, put some ketchup on it, mustard. I don't care. It's yours, you know. I'm trying to sell you the steak. That's it. You know, you want to put that on, put that on. It's yours. You know, again, it's the same thing with wine. I try and steer people into wines that I think that they may enjoy. We had one guy at the club. He was stuck on this silver oak, right? I said, dude, I can show you 30 Cabernets at half the price that are three times as good as what you're drinking. And I started showing him. All of a sudden, now he's not a silver oak guy anymore. He's like drinking all these other wines. And I said to him, ultimately, I said, look, I don't care what you drink. I said, I'm just trying to show you what's out there. That's all. There's oceans of wine out there, you know. You should check it out. That's all. You know, drink whatever you want. You want to still drink silver oak, drink it. It doesn't matter to me.
So you start talking about things you drink. When I went into Stu Leonard's the other day, it was very interesting. I was at Stu Leonard's, and then the next day I was over at Total Wine. Total Wine in Westbury actually used to be two separate stores. There was a wine shop, and then there was a beer.
Yeah.
I think now it's all liquor.
Oh, yeah.
But when I was wandering around Stu Leonard's, they have cases and cases and cases of what they call RTDs, which is ready-to-drink canned cocktails.
Right.
It's like a sunrise, I don't know. Surfside and Sun Chaser and everything. I mean, there's Jack Daniels with Coke, Jack Daniels with ginger ale, Jack Daniels honey with lemonade, on and on and on and on. I think, and you would know better, that the amount of wine sold in say the United States must be continuing to increase. Whereas I think the younger people are moving away from beer to these canned products.
Well, it's actually, wine drinking is actually decreasing, believe it or not.
Really?
And it's more these cocktails, you know. And kids aren't drinking as much. They're not going out as much. They're staying home. They're playing games. They're living in a basement, whatever they're doing, you know. I don't know. But I know the wine sales nationally are down a bit, you know.
And what do you know about the CBD wines and stuff? The cannabis.
I don't know anything about pot. I really don't. I mean, I used to. I did in the 70s. I knew a lot about pot. But I haven't smoked a joint or taken anything. You know?
And I'm not implying that you are. But I know that you walk again into Stu Leonard's, into the grocery department, and they'll have a CBD spiked seltzer. And,
No, I don't know.
You know, there's wines that are infused with cannabis or THC or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
The world is changing.
Yeah, pot got too strong over the years. I haven't, like I said, I haven't smoked a joint since 1976. So I'm so far removed from that. I don't do CBDBs or whatever they are, you know. I have no idea. I do know they make you feel good from what I hear, and that's great.
I get crazy, and you probably experience this vaping stuff. I mean,
that's not good.
You know, people are—they're vaping, and you never know if it's tobacco or THC or whatever it is. And you know, you have to start worrying about who your teammates are. I think I come out of a factory environment, and I don't think I'd want to be on the production line with somebody that was inebriated. And again, for whatever reason, I guess there were always people that would come to work drunk or whatever.
Yeah, those are the people you fire.
But I guess it was maybe a little more recognizable. I don't know. You know, you had alcohol in your breath or whatever.
Yeah.
With this other stuff today, you don't know what's going on. And again, freedom of choice, and as long as you're not hurting somebody.
But they are. They're driving. I smell a lot of pot on the road.
That's the strangest thing to me.
And now when you look, I put, you know, when I get up in the morning, I put Channel 12 on just to see what's going on around Long Island, you know. And there's always a hit and run or somebody hit, and there's always a house fire. I've never seen so many house fires in my life. There's one a day.
Just the other day, I woke up to the fact that a 12-year-old was crossing maybe Sunrise Highway over by Carmen's Road in Massapequa, and the young kid got hurt.
Yeah, it was another kid on a bicycle. It was a 70-year-old who was killed. I mean, it's every day it's something, you know? And people are driving around stoned all the time. And, you know, you tend to drive a little slower, I guess, you know, as you get that, dude, I'm almost there, man, you know, kind of attitude. But I don't know. It's just legalizing the thing was, I think it was stupid, you know. And I'm pretty liberal with that stuff. But, you know, you just, you know, I walk down the street in the city. I got to go tonight. All you smell is weed.
Yeah,
everywhere.
But, and then the newest craziness is drones. They keep talking about drones having a more active role in deliveries and stuff like that. But I'm trying to figure out how they know to stay away from somebody when it goes to land.
I don't know.
And they got all these propellers because I actually had went to a networking group last week, and the guy, tip of his nose was missing. And he said he was in Italy, and a drone fell.
Wow.
And hit him.
Wow.
And this guy's got more money than God.
Yeah.
But he's still missing the tip of his nose.
Yeah, he's got to buy a new one. All right. Well, on that note, we got to get out of here. So we're going to leave with Tom's three keys to life, which is life is too short to drink bad wine. Treat every meal like it was your last. And keep your nose out of places it doesn't belong.
And this is the last Sunday in May.
Yes. See you next week.
Come on now, everybody. Get ready for a treat. It's time for stepping out for something mighty good to eat. You looking for atmosphere? Well, they got it happening here. They're doing barbecue the way it ought to be. Bring your sister, brother, significant other. Bring all your pals. There's always something smoking at Smoking Al.
It's spring and summer is right behind. It's time for Smoking Al's party catering menu. Make your next party at Smoking One with Al's ribs, barbecue meats, chicken, appetizers, and a whole lot more. Try Al's new fantasy platters in the comfort of your backyard or one of Al's party packages. The weather is heating up and the party is smoking. Smoking Al's, Massapequa Park. For details, call 516-799-4900. And remember, there's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.